Jesus' words peel away the unreality of the world and reveal to us the nature of God's reality breaking through the world's false reality. The Sermon on the Mount restates everything. You who are persecuted and reviled, you are the salt and the light of the world. The faithful follower does not hide or compromise God's truth. That is what the temple priests and what Rome's puppet rulers did. They made peace with injustice and oppression. That was last week's gospel. But we need to remember it. Because when we, like the Pharisees or the rulers of Rome, collaborate with the status quo or profess a half-hearted cotton candy religion in the name of Jesus, then you have exchanged truth for safety and grace for approval. So, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, unless my righteousness exceeds theirs, we cannot participate in the abundant love of God's kingdom. And you cannot become what the Lord has called you to become. So let's go ahead. None of us meet the threshold. Now that direct challenge that Jesus makes to his followers is indispensable in interpreting today's difficult gospel. Lust, anger, divorce, hellfire, adultery, swearing oaths. And it only gets better next week, George. Verse by verse, Jesus peels away layer after layer of unreality. And in so doing, he also describes what a Christian community is called to be like. But we have to agree on one thing right now. Jesus spoke these words in a particular point in history, in a particular region of the world ruled by Rome, in a culture that is utterly, utterly foreign to our own. So while the truth that Jesus preaches remains inviolably true, we fail as interpreters of Scripture if we dare to clip a passage from its historical context and drop it into a contemporary situation in order to prove our own rightness or to judge another. Now, if we can agree on that, then we can move on. This scripture is not a guidebook or a recipe for the aspiring saint. Rather, as Stanley Hauerwas states, it is a description of the life of a people gathered by Jesus and gathered around Jesus. It describes a new kind of society, a way for people to live together that reflects the merciful nature of God and strives towards the fullness of our humanity that Christ made possible. John Yoder described it this way. It being Christianity, the community of followers. It is like no other society the world has ever seen. It is voluntary. You cannot be born into it. You come into it by freely pledging to follow its ruler, the Lord. Counter to all precedent, it is a mixed society, racially and ethnically mixed, Jew and non-Jew, liberal, advocate and fanatical follower of the law, radical monotheists, and those just entering the faith who don't know the Trinity from the hole in the ground. Poor and rich, slave and free, male and female. It is a radically mixed society. Jesus gives us a new way to deal with offenders by forgiveness, to deal with violence by suffering, to deal with corrupt leaders by drawing upon the gifts of all in the community. All of this comes down to the resurrection and to the death of Jesus. It's that powerful. It is the assurance that there is a power at work in the world that's transforming defeat, the crucifixion, into divine victory, the kingdom of God present. The renewal of any institution, be it the church or government, is nothing more or less than the transformation of individual hearts, of people like you and me. The transformation of hearts is what Jesus is after. You have heard it said. That means the way the world expects it to be, the status quo. You have heard it said, but Jesus says that God's faithful people are called to exercise a degree of love and care for one another that surpasses the status quo by orders of magnitude. For example, Jesus is not dealing with the question of what constitutes grounds for a proper divorce. Jesus is calling the question on the status quo understanding of marriage. Jesus is condemning a system that treats women as property, a system that grants power only to the male to make and break a marriage contract, and more than that, a system that forces women to remarry because that, in that culture, that is the only way to have food and shelter, to live under your father's house or to live under your husband's. To divorce is to abandon someone to death, to desperation, to make a refugee of them. No more, Jesus says. You are to live with such love and care in the society of the church that marriage becomes something more than a means of survival and control. So in some ways, we have come a long way. We are not to hide behind the letter of the law, neither the rules of society, nor even the rules of the church, as a measure of our faithfulness. Following Jesus into this kind of community will cost you your life, because the world doesn't like change that empowers and that includes, that frees, that unbinds. To faithfully follow Jesus, you must give up treating others as your property, as objects. You will give up lying and cheating and acting to promote your own interest at the expense of others. I call that latter part collaborating with the enemies of God and the peddlers of oppression. You will give up that small life that limits you and plunge into the waters of baptism. And the Spirit of God will join your death of your little self to Jesus' death on the cross, and will raise you with Christ, reconciling you to God. It's just a phrase. Did you get it? Reconciling you. You are reconciled to God. It's very nearly too big an idea to even understand, much less believe. And sadly, most of us do stop short at believing that we are reconciled to God. It is one thing to try to follow Jesus. It is another to admit to God the very darkest and most hidden sins of your soul. Addiction, abuse, theft, violence, broken promises, dangerous secrets of the soul, things you have done to yourself and to others. Things so shameful that I silently carry them all through life, weighing down the heart. Those are the sins and the wounds that God offers to touch and to transform with a love like fire. Whatever we offer to God will be burned up and consumed. That is the kind of community that Jesus invites us to experience, where touched by God's love, we strive to follow Jesus' command to love others in the same way, to love others as God loves you. This parish will focus on one book this Lent, a title written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Life Together. It's about living into the reign of God in the community that we call the church. Bonhoeffer wrote in that book a short quote that I'll share. The pious fellowship admits no sinners. The pious fellowship admits no sinners. Bonhoeffer knew about reality and unreality, about sin and about reconciliation, about real reconciliation, about church and about the hypocrisy of church when its members are so pious that they either pretend to be above sin or pretend that they cannot admit sinners. I expect that you feel the way I do about that. I don't need a community, another community, that's too afraid and too weak to admit the reality of our faults, our wounds, our deep sinfulness, because that has nothing to do with my experience of life. I need a place at the table, that table, where believers can admit their sinfulness to God and experience God's mercy, trust, and hope in Jesus. That is the kind of community that I think Jesus invites us to participate in and to share with the whole world. A fellowship where we see the wounds of the resurrected Christ in the face of the other, where we see the love that God has for us and share that with the other. A community where we strive to do justice and acts of kindness because of the only love that matters, the one that made us, the one that redeems us, no matter what, Jesus Christ. Amen.